Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell. Stay tuned as Elissa goes up close and personal with some of the biggest names in the world of sports. From Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame quarterback Roger Staubach to legendary broadcaster Pat Summerall. Think big. Think big. It's all happening right here on the Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we want to welcome you back this weekend to the Big E Sports Show. And I tell you what, good things continue to happen in Norman, Oklahoma, with the Sooner women's basketball team. Sherry Cole Sooners coming off another impressive season. 0-0, by the way, a Final Four appearance. And they look to pick right up where they left off. They've got some talented players returning. And I'm really excited. They have got a bunch of newcomers, and we're looking forward to getting to know them. Always a pleasure to have and welcome back on our program, Oklahoma women's basketball coach Sherry Cole.
Hey, E, how are you?
It's great. Gearing up for the Halloween weekend. You got big plans?
You know, a little bit of recruiting, a little Oklahoma football. We got the night game, so trick-or-treaters might be out of luck if they go to my door.
That's right. We're going to be cheering on those Sooners. Let's start off our conversation by talking about the big news, the announcement this week. Oklahoma selected to be one of 16 institutions that will host the first and second rounds of the 2012 Women's NC2A Tournament. I love what you shared. You know, it's just a reflection of hard work, the success of the program, and even giving credit to the administration.
Well, it's a little bit of everybody. I've been involved enough in the bracketing process with the NCAA to know how sites are selected, and there's a bid process that requires some pretty intensive work by the administration in terms of letting the committee know what we can do, what we're capable of, what we're willing to do in terms of hosting. It's not a money-making situation for institutions in the sport of women's basketball. It has to be a service, really, and you have to go at it with that mindset, and our administration has done that. And the other thing that the NCAA committee looks at is they want people in the stands for those games. They're going to only award those sites to places where they think folks will come and be involved in the game and promote the growth of women's basketball. And so the turnout of our fans, obviously when we play, great atmospheres, and our regional a couple of years ago was the number one grossing regional of all the entire NCAA tournament. They understand that people in Oklahoma will show up and be incredibly excited when we're playing. But I think probably even further beyond that, it's the fact that the year we didn't make it when we hosted, and that was a regional, not a first and second round, but we didn't make it back here, and people still showed up to support the teams that were playing. And I think that, you know, the NCAA committee and those folks involved in managing the growth of our sport, they have a memory like an elephant. They remember all that stuff, and Oklahoma made a serious impression on them. And I'm talking about our fan base when I say that. And so when that bid selection process comes up, we're looked at with good favor, and that's because of the loyalty of our fans for the sport of women's college basketball. So I'm appreciative on a number of levels, and last but not least, certainly to our players who have performed in such a way so that the NCAA committee thinks that we'll be playing and we'll be participating, and it's a good spot to put it.
Can you talk some more about how special your fan base is, the record crowds? When you go to the Lloyd Noble Center, I mean, it's not unusual to see over 10,000 fans taking in Oklahoma women's basketball. I guess my question to you is, this is your 15th year at Oklahoma. How have you been able to build this base? Because we do see programs across the country that are successful. They get the wins. They get to the NC2A tournament. They go deep into the tournament, but they don't have a home base. They don't have a home crowd. Oklahoma fans are very special when it comes to women's basketball.
Well, they are. And E, we've built it literally like that old Herbal Essence shampoo commercial. Remember, they tell two friends and they tell two friends and so on and so on and so on. And sooner or later.
You're dating us.
I know. The young people are like, what are they talking about? But seriously, that's how it's been. It's talking to your neighbors and talking to the people at church and them telling friends, and suddenly it catches on. I think the other piece of that, too, is the approachability of our student athletes. And I've said this before, I think the community at large can relate to our women's basketball players. They see them in town. They know that they're students. They know that they serve the community. They see them as more than just elite-level athletes. They appreciate their athleticism and their status, but they also see them as everyman. And I think that that connection helps fuel the loyalty of our fan base. You know, our kids stay here for 4 years. All of our players, you can't leave early to go to the WNBA, so kids stay here and fans get invested in them and relationships are built and connections are formed. And I hear all of our fans talking this year about, you know, we've got to get out and meet these new kids. I don't know these kids. You know, they want to know our team. And so that goes a long way toward those record crowds that you see as well.
I'm really curious. I was in Scottsdale, Arizona last weekend. I had a gentleman that came up to me. We started talking to Oklahoma women's basketball. He was from Norman, and it was amazing to hear him talk about his passion and how he enjoys going to the games. How have you been able to tap into the male demographic? It's not just moms and, you know, bringing their daughters to these games. We've got guys excited. They have embraced the sport.
Well, I think there are several things, Ian. I appreciate you bringing that up, because I do think one of the most unique attributes of our fan base is how widespread it is. It's not necessarily your traditional, quote-unquote traditional, women's college basketball fan base.
Right.
We have professional women. We have a booster organization called the Sooner Stilettos that is a lure for professional women, the kind of women that our players are going to grow up and be like when they graduate from college. We have a lot of males, a lot of couples, a lot of families who come and watch and appreciate. And I think for the male demographic, a large part of it is an appreciation for the way we play, especially when you talk to older men in terms of guys who participated and played maybe when the sport was a little bit more below the rim than it is now. And I have older gentlemen come up to me all the time and say, that's the way basketball, real basketball, is played. Because back when they played, everybody wasn't dunking. The point guards weren't 6'6". And so when they see our guys passing and cutting and the ball being reversed and backdoor cuts being run, they have a great, great appreciation for that style of basketball. And they enjoy it. I think the other piece of it is people appreciate kids who compete. And I just think that's attractive. It draws people in regardless. There's just something sincere and pure about full effort. And I think day in, day out, year in, year out, our guys do a pretty good job of that, and I think people latch onto it.
You're listening to the voice of Oklahoma head women's basketball coach Sherry Cole. She's joining us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Let's set that aside. Let's talk about your team this year. How is that first week of practice? How are they coming together?
You know what, E? I just am enjoying them so much. I cannot tell you. I have six new kids, so someone asked me yesterday, I said, I'm teaching my brains out. I can't even function to make this order at the drive-thru because I left all my brains in the gym. It's just been a little bit like recess. Some moments are. There's so much for these kids to learn. However, their attitudes have been fantastic. They all are really working to digest what we're teaching. I think as a group, our offensive IQ, when all is said and done, is going to be higher than it's been in a long, long time here. They just get it. They understand what we're throwing out there. And the things we're doing right now, E, are things that are hard to teach and they're hard to learn and they take time and they're difficult concepts, but yet they're concepts that allow the game to become easy once you master them. And we're kind of in the dog days of learning that right now, but I've been proud of our senior leadership. Carly Roethlisberger, Daniel Robinson, Lauren Willis have done a great job in behaving as seniors and holding expectations for those young guys, but nurturing them along, pushing sometimes, pulling sometimes, but bringing those kids where they need to be. And then Whitney Hand, a co-captain with Carly and Danielle, can't play right now. Hopefully will be released by Christmas and can play for the entire conference season. But right now she's on the side, you know, pushing and motivating and teaching as well. So it's just been a really good atmosphere. A lot of different things going on, but a really balanced atmosphere. And I'm enjoying teaching them, and I'm enjoying watching them learn and grow.
Our friends from Liberty Christian who tune into the program, they always want to know about Whitney Hand. Obviously, you know, she's always got a bounce in her step, you know, a smile on her face. How is she? Was she, you know, taken back or surprised by not being able to play, what, until conference play with the injury?
Yeah, she had to have a second surgery, and contrary to a lot of what's been floating around, she did not re-injure her knee. This was a part of the original injury that couldn't be detected at the time due to bone bruising and that sort of thing. She had to have a microfracture surgery, which is pretty intensive in recovery time. It's non-weight-bearing for 8 weeks, so she crutched around for the first part of the first semester all over campus on crutches. She was a real trooper there, and she's off of them now. She's walking and about to be released the 1st of November, so that'll be next week, to jog a little bit and shoot, which she is really, really looking forward to. And she's healing well. Physically, she's getting better all the time. Mentally and emotionally, she's just been a trooper. Of course, we all have bad days and bad moments, but she bounces right back. And the thing that I really love and appreciate most about Whitney, I think, is her self-honesty. And when she feels herself, getting down or getting frustrated, she'll analyze it, look at it, and change it and move on and do the next best thing. And just watching her personal growth over the last year, while I would rather not have had to watch it, watching it has been incredibly rewarding. She is just one of the neatest kids I've ever had an opportunity to be around, and a leader and a champion, and she'll be back on the floor for us for conference, and that's a really good thing for Oklahoma fans.
An inspiring young woman. When we talk about Whitney Hand, okay, the gal that we've got to talk about, Nicole Griffin, 6'6". What is she like? Take us inside her.
Well, she's kind of like you, except even longer and taller.
Oh, no.
She's got quite a wingspan. She's very, very thin. And the thing that we're most concerned about in early in her freshman year is withstanding the physical play, particularly once we get into conference season, because the Big 12 is somewhat known for its physicality. So obviously she's been working in the weight room, but she's never going to be a kid that has any type of brawn to her. She's just not built that way. That's not her bone structure. She'll be a lot more like, you know, Lisa Leslie played for years in the WNBA, long and thin and lithe, and Nicole will be a lot like that. I hope she's that good.
Yeah.
But her body style is just, she's going to be thin, and yet she does a very good job of finishing around the basket, of stretching out and using her length. She's a terrific shot blocker, and she's really a learner. She's really trying to digest and comprehend things and get better, and as is true with all freshmen, she's a little bit overwhelmed right now, but I really, really like the way she approaches learning, and I think she has a chance to be a really impactful player.
We're quickly running out of time. One of the things I do want to talk about, so impressed with the strength of your schedule. We're very excited. You're going to be right down here in Fort Worth, and that'll be at the beginning of the year. What date is that?
First or second? Second, maybe? January
yeah.
2nd?
That'll be a great matchup. Jeff Mitty's team, the top of the Mountain West Conference, so we'll look forward to that particular matchup. But you guys also, very ambitious with your scheduling. You will be going to Storrs, Connecticut.
Yes. Last season, we had the number one toughest schedule in the country. That does us a lot of favors, both when it comes time for the NCAA to put that bracket together and then when it comes time for us to compete within that bracket, because I really, really believe that our ability the last few years to go through the NCAA tournament and find our way into the Final Four has been because of the tough schedule that we've played along the way. So we do that strategically, knowing that the Big 12 is tough enough. We can probably get our RPI high enough and win enough games to get a good seed in the final tournament based on what happens in league play, but I don't know if your team is as prepared. So we always try to go for some marquee matchups outside of conference, and I always like to try to play Connecticut, because if you can beat them, then you get a chance to win the title. So we put ourselves in that position, and this year we will travel to Connecticut. The game will actually be in Hartford. I believe it's on Valentine's Day. It's a big Monday game.
It is, yes.
Will be the Pink Out Challenge game that will be carried on ESPN. To raise awareness for the fight against breast cancer and to raise money for the KYAW Cancer Fund, which is an initiative that is incredibly close to both mine and Gino's heart. So
yes.
Really special for us to be playing that game against one another for that cause. And then also an opportunity for our guys to go up against the defending national champions and see what we're made of.
Okay, you guys start off your exhibition games on November 4th. Good luck with that, and we will have our eye on you. We look forward to watching you on TV and also in person. Thanks, Sherry, so much for stopping by.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you.
You bet. Happy Halloween, and we're going to step aside. We'll be right back here in just a moment.
The Big E Sports Show with Elissa Walker-Campbell is the biggest names in sports.
Delivering the insight
you won't find anywhere else.
Anywhere else.
Like TCU head football coach Gary Patterson.
Texas A&M great R.C. Slocum.
And Big E's regular guest of ESPN Radio, better known as the Double Nickel, Jason Peter. The Big E Sports Show
with Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Miss one episode and you miss the game.